Okay, let's talk about something that's really hot on people's minds at the moment. I mean, it's the big quit or quiet quitting or the hunt for talent or
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
not
Oh.
wanting to do stuff.
And all of that is really meaty stuff. And our industry, biopharma, biotech, whatever you want to call it, has an incredibly interesting problem or challenge. Anyway, it is a great topic of interest.
And that's why we brought together some experts. Now, dear listener, if you follow Cytiva on YouTube or LinkedIn, this should be familiar to you.
That's right. We broadcast these interviews live from the Bio Convention in San Diego in June.
And that does seem a long time ago, but it is part of our Biopharma Resilience Index. One of the pillars of the index is talent.
And talent is what matters today on Discovery Matters. Hello and welcome to this live broadcast from Cytiva. Here we are in person. We're in San Diego at the Bio International Convention.
And it's been a long time since we've been in person at a convention. In fact, the last time was
2019.
Almost 2 years ago, well, 3 years ago, almost 2019
yes.
At Bio Convention in Philadelphia.
Exactly. And this time we're talking about talent. The whole industry is talking about talent. It is good to be in the state of California because it's incredible what's happening here in terms of talent in the life sciences industry.
It is. And the topics of discussion here are about how talent is a key leg in building resilience for the future of the industry.
So in California, Connor, mm-hmm. how many people do you think are employed by the life sciences industry?
Okay, well, looking around here, I'd say like all of them, but but I know it's not. I don't know, but 200,000, something
500,000.
Like that?
500,000. Okay, wow. In 11,000 mm-hmm. companies. They're generating quite a bit of money for the state of California. Mm. I'm going to give you a number. Tell me if you think it's high or low.
Okay.
$290 billion US dollars.
I think that's a trick question. I think that's exactly the number.
Well, you've read the script.
Yeah,
well done. Well done, you.
I have a fact as well.
Okay.
Almost a third of San Diegans are employed in some way or another in the life sciences industry, whether through academic institutions or the companies that they work for. That's
and
a
I
lot
just
of people.
Learned that we call them San Diegans. I didn't know that.
Oh, I just made that up. I wasn't sure.
Well, if you're from San Diego, let
Tell
us know if
mm.
Connor is right or wrong.
Mm.
We could talk about talent till we're blue in the face.
Yeah, but we don't know about it. So let's talk to people who do.
Do let's. And so we're going to introduce you to our guests. Calling in this morning from Dublin, Ireland, we've got Darren Morrissey, the CEO of Nibert. We have from Stockholm, Sweden, Anne-Cécile Potmans, who is our General Manager of Fast Track and CDMO Services at Cytiva. And Nikki Soares, who is temporarily in Seattle, Washington. Mm-hmm. Great city. Nikki is our global talent acquisition leader at Cytiva. So let's get to know a little bit more about our guests. Darren, tell us a bit more, please, about Nibert. What does it stand for, first of all, and what does Nibert do?
Thanks, Dodie. Thank you for the invitation to speak today. And sadly, not able to be there in sunny San Diego with you guys, but here in less sunny Dublin. Nibert is HQ'd in Dublin, in Ireland, and it stands for the National Institute for Bioprocessing Research and Training. And we were established about 10 years ago as a collaboration between IDA Ireland, which is Ireland's inward investment agency, and a number of Ireland's leading higher education institutes and universities. And the objective behind Nibert was to support the biopharma manufacturing industry to address their research and training needs, and then also to support IDA in attracting inward investment into the country. Since 2010, IDA has invested about 75 million in the building I'm in the facility. We're a simulated GMP facility with end-to-end biopharma manufacturing equipment, state-of-the-art kit and processes. And we now train as many as 4,500 people face-to-face in this facility every year. Students, postgraduates, people who want to do career changes. And we train even more people internationally through our online training programs and global partnerships. And then we also work with the multinational industry on collaborative research projects.
Wow, so you're reaching across, you are really building a lot of bridges, and talent seems like a focus. What does that mean a day in your life is like?
A day in my life, we're a facility of about 100 staff, and we're really, I suppose, a diverse staffing model ourselves. with lots of graduates and postgraduates. So a lot of my day actually is quite focused on sourcing and retaining our own talent.
Right, and I love that. It's talent around talent acquisition.
Talent around talent, exactly. Yeah. And we're also, I mean, we're a self-funded agency with government money that comes in as core funding as well. So a lot of the time what we're doing is we're engaging with our stakeholders, with our clients, focused on their needs, but then also working with government stakeholders to make sure we're meeting the needs of the country as well. And I think today, a lot of my focus is on an expansion that we're doing to this facility. We're moving into the cell and gene therapy area, and we have a big building work going on. So I'm trying to keep the construction people quiet out there at the moment, but that's dominating a lot of my waking hours.
That's been a big topic here at the convention, actually, a number of talks as the technologies and the therapeutic modalities expand, the need to train people who may have a lot of experience in monoclonal antibodies, for example, in new therapeutic areas. Let's go to Nikki. Nikki, same question to you. I mean, what does your day look like? What kind of challenges are you facing, and how have things changed over the pandemic?
So in leading our global talent acquisition team, you know, my job is really focused on helping the organization find the talent that they need for current and for the future. You know, making sure that we have the right people in the right places at the right time. So what that means is that, you know, I spend a lot of time talking to our leaders about, you know, what are their needs? What kind of people do they need? Where do they need them? How many do they need so that, you know, I can get my team mobilized to go out and find those people and get them into the organization at the right time. It also includes building relationships with universities and our diversity organizations so that we have different channels to go out to bring talent into the organization, whether we're talking about, you know, early talent pipelines through universities from bachelor's on up to postdoc level, as well as, you know, our diversity partners who help us find talent in underrepresented spaces.
When you are talking to leaders about what kind of talent do they need, and then you go out and you're talking to candidates, the competition for the candidates is coming from different areas. So you're not necessarily competing with with companies in the life sciences space. You're also competing with employers who are in IT, who are in Silicon Valley, who are experts in AI. I mean, the field is so different for you, is it not? And how does that affect how you recruit talent?
Yeah, absolutely. So, while we do see a large portion of our talent coming from the life sciences space, but that's not enough to fill the needs that we have across the industry. So, you know, we are seeing people coming in from the high tech space, from the automotive and other heavy manufacturing, organizations, so that we can really go to where that best talent is, not just within our industry, because we've got to grow the pipeline in order to fill the growth plans for our organization in particular, but for the industry as a whole.
Anne-Cécile, at Fast Track, you're also, like Darren was talking about, is focused on retaining talent, on training. Introduce us to Fast Track briefly, please.
So Fast Track is a global service organization who helps biopharma, biotech companies to accelerate their molecule to market. So we support our customer for the past 35 years with process development, but we have received a lot of requests from our customer to share our expertise with them. So this is why we have developed the Fast Track Training Education Program to train the next generation of talents, but also to reinforce the specialist knowledge in the bioprocessing skills and field.
That's fabulous. And when you see the focus coming from the customers, what's the draw now? What are your customers asking you and the team for?
So there are different types of training, the very large variety of training. So there are, you always have the equipment training, I will say, Saitiva as an equipment provider. They, of course, as play a big role in training the bioprocessing on the bioprocessing equipment and technology. But the customer also asking for more bioprocessing skill application team troubleshooting skills to ensure that they can do faster in process development. That's also critical to get faster. And as I think also you were mentioning about cell and gene therapy, there is a diversification of the pipeline. So they're asking also for MABs and recombinant protein, which is still there, but asking also for new skills such as in cell and gene therapy.
Why don't we go to a lightning round? And this is a question for the audience as well. Very quickly, I'm going to ask Darren first. In one short phrase, what's the biggest or the most surprising trend with respect to talent that you've seen in the last 2.5 or so years?
You've asked an Irish guy to give you one short sentence, but I'll try and keep it succinct. I think for me, a huge increase in the diversity and the complexity of the biopharma molecules and products that we're manufacturing. So including your ATMPs, your cell therapies, gene therapies, and so on. For me, that's impacting the type of people who we need to be hiring for the future.
Superb. Nikki, what about you?
For me, it's the intensity of the competition.
And Cecile, what about yourself?
I think it would be all the new technology, automation, digital tools to accelerate the PD timeline. I think that's where also you compete with other industry, as Nikki was mentioning.
Wow, thank you, everybody. That's really interesting. Now, we're going to bring some more data to you. A little bit more than a year ago, it was 2021, Saitiva undertook some research and we developed the Global Biopharma Resilience Index. This uncovered 5 areas that are major challenges for the industry. Talent, remarkably, was the pillar that presented itself as most challenging for the industry. We're really having a hard time knowing how to obtain and retain talent. But let's have a look at a summary of that resilience index, and I think that you will enjoy some of this data. Let's have a look.
The biopharmaceutical industry depends on a strong pipeline of specialist skills. Yet 25% of executives state that sourcing digital, manufacturing, and R&D talent has become increasingly difficult. More than half of the executives state this is due to the rising cost of talent, and only 20% believe that their domestic labor regulations facilitate the sourcing of talent from abroad.
There's a lot more information on Saitiva.com/resilience, so you can find out more if you like.
And Cecile, I know that you've perused and looked through and worked and reacted to the data. What is it that stands out from the Resilience Index for you as a most important takeaway as a business leader?
I think the sourcing of talent in the biopharma industry is not new, but what the data confirm is becoming increasingly complex and increasingly more expensive. What is rare is expensive, so it's logical. But we see that beyond the traditional resourcing talent crunch that we are know about, process development or process engineer, it's been for years, we still the case, but now it's not only for the MABs and the recombinant protein. We are seeing that also that we need to increase the talent in the new pipeline, in terms of cell and gene therapy or mRNA or exosome. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, we have all the new skills with automation and digital that we need to train. So that's why it's making it even more complex and more expensive.
So related to that, we had a question flash up on the screen, and it says, where's the biggest potential for people in the non-life sciences space to get involved in things like cell and gene therapy? I mean, what could somebody who is perhaps not a cell biologist get involved with in this space?
Maybe again, I'm sure you because you see a lot of them, what we're seeing a lot of transfer from cross-industry is especially everything with digital skills, digital skills, automation engineer. And I know that, Daryl, you train a lot of them in at Nybird facility.
Yeah, I know for sure. And we're seeing, I would say, quite a diverse range of people coming through, particularly on reskilling courses that the Irish government funds. A particular fund called the Springboard Plus Fund. And it's everywhere from what I would say is more nuts and bolts engineers, technicians coming from with kind of more digital background and heavy engineering background. But what we're also seeing, which is very interesting, is talking to HR directors within the biopharma manufacturing companies. They are now talking about what they call Plan B plus Plan C plus Plan D. In fact, what they're talking about is casting the net ever wider and creating graduate recruitment programs to take in, frankly, a wide diversity of graduates. So not just life science, because their view is if you get a smart person, you can work with them over a period of time and you get better long-term retention as well.
There's wonderful simplicity in what you just said, Darren, people are eager to learn and a smart person can apply their intelligence to many different fields. And we had a comment from Jose who said it is a great time to be a candidate. We had a comment from Adam that said, you know, just knowing stuff is table stakes and you've got to be able to demonstrate that you are that curious person with an ability to apply your skills to different areas. So Nikki, I'd like to ask you, what do you want to hear from candidates? How can a candidate best present him or herself or themselves as, you know, as one of those appealing candidates?
Yes, yeah, I think it's about really articulating the skills and experiences that they've gained that they can bring over to our organization, even if they haven't been in the life sciences space. So if you've got, you know, the technology skills, if you've got the collaboration and teamwork skills, if you're a person who can roll up your sleeves and dig in there and just try to figure things out, those are the kinds of traits that we're looking for to bring into the organization, regardless of the role that we're talking about.
And it's a remarkable sign of the maturing of the industry, really. It suddenly becomes something that's very attractive to people who, you know, weren't necessarily specializing it in their first or second or even third degrees to really draw in talent from, you know, across a whole series of different industries. And we've got people on from all over the world, yes. Darren and Cecile. So I've got a question here around like the geographical pull of talent. What are you seeing in terms of where candidates are coming from, not just the backgrounds technologically or from the discipline point of view, but where in the world is the biotech industry drawing talent from? Where are the candidates from?
And even more so, does location matter anymore?
Indeed.
I mean, I think from my perspective, mobility is a great thing. And I think mobility from around the world is actually a crucial thing that the industry needs. Ireland experiences, because we're an island that's a small, very small, albeit very open economy, with about 60% of our populace now educated to third level, and with about nine out of the top ten biopharma companies based in Ireland, and over 40,000 people directly employed. But even with the throughput of around 100,000 graduates a year, now not all life science, maybe 30% of them around life science, it's still not enough. It's not enough to feed the pipeline. So in Ireland, we are seeing increased graduate and postgraduate migration coming to, I suppose, solve the issue, coming from European countries. So EU, obviously, there's lots of good mobility, but also coming from what we call EU treaty countries. So South America in particular, we're seeing lots of pull from places like Brazil, Argentina, and then Middle Eastern countries as well, we're seeing, as well as India and China. So they'd be the footfall we're seeing.
And Cecile, are you seeing something similar in terms of the talent that the biotech industry is bringing to you and your team? Are they from all over the world?
Yes, all over the world, especially within, you know, Fast Track. We are a global organization, so we have six sites globally. And we see the process development talent coming from all over the world, the US, China, India, you know, of course, Europe or APAC in Korea. What we are seeing also, which is interesting, is that people can move quite a lot, I think is important. And from a biopharma perspective, we think that they are establishing also a strategy to be able to have an increasing coverage of talent and not necessary to have talent, you know, on site. So we think company, for example, establishing a global footprint as early as possible to target the widest possible to pool of talent, for example, China or Europe biotech, to set up a field in the US as early as possible. And we're seeing also much more thinking about the outsourcing model. What the biopharma or biotech, which are the role that they select to have in-house, and what are the role that are looking for multiple specialized capability that can be all over the world. So outsourcing model is also important. And of course, as you know, we mentioned about the remote pool of talent, the COVID-19 has demonstrated that a lot of work can be done, at least for some part, remotely. And the company now finds time to propose hybrid model work to increase the talent pool and attract more talent. So it's really a global talent coverage. And I think those strategy helps to get access to a larger pool of talent.
Oh, there's so much to pick up on.
I know, I was going to dive in there, but over to you.
So the bench, you know, perhaps the bench becomes virtual. I want to talk to Nikki about future of work, because Anne-Cécile mentioned hybrid working model. But I also want to volley back to Darren very quickly, because Darren, NIBRD isn't just focused on Ireland. You're working with the Jefferson Institute in the United States, also Guangzhou, China. Talk about how your global focus is finding talent and addressing the talent need in globally.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we certainly, I suppose, adapted our philosophy in the last 4 or 5 years to really appreciate that talent is a true global issue. It's not just a local or regional issue for biopharma. And basically, we believe that biopharma manufacturing countries that might be a little bit further ahead than other countries can play a really strong role in addressing those global shortages. So in recognition of this, we established a program called the NIBRD Global Partners Program, which essentially is like a licensing arrangement whereby with trusted partners, NIBRD licenses our curriculum out to those facilities to pass on that training and to train people in those locations. As you said, we've got a partnership with Jefferson, part of Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia. We have one with China in Guangzhou province, and we have a what we call K-NIBRD, so in Korea, as part of a link to...
Oh, that's adorable. Young, stop for a moment. Really, you call it K-NIBRD.
K-NIBRD,
exactly. K-NIBRD, that's absolutely fantastic.
That is so in tune with the trend.
And I do want to acknowledge, so Sativa played a very strong role in all of those partnerships in helping us to make the connections and to bring it together. So we genuinely see this as a real team effort across boundaries and globally.
And that global flow of talent, I mean, often raises questions around whether or not, you know, regions like the East Coast of the US, the West Coast of the US, Europe, Ireland, and so on, are talent sinks for the rest of the world who are trying to build up their local talent. But we've seen talent flowing into those areas and then, of course, flowing back to those areas, back to China, back to India, to set up companies. Nikki, can we come back to you around the future of work? There was a question around how the biotech industry can encourage and embrace the idea of virtual working, of remote work. Obviously, it can't all be virtual because people need to actually still do stuff in facilities. But, you know, what does the future of work look like from your point of view?
Yes, I think our leaders have been very thoughtful about what work absolutely has to take place at a site. You know, for example, we have not quite figured out how to put a clean room in someone's home so that we can manufacture our products. But there are so many other areas where there is flexibility about how and where that work can get done. And our leaders have have really been thoughtful about that, identifying where it's not as critical to have someone in the in an office or not in an office every day, and then having conversations with our associates about, you know, what kind of flexibility is going to work for them and for the organization, so that, you know, we can put the right structure in place. And that really helps us from a talent attraction perspective, because talent has been loud and clear in the last couple of years that they've really enjoyed the flexibility that they saw with the pandemic and everybody working from home, and want to be able to continue that as much as possible. Or, you know, there are those who, like myself, prefer to have a mix of having some time in the office and some time at home, and being able to accommodate those interests and still fill the needs of the business, you know, really helps us to get the right talent that we need.
I love Samir's comment.
It's a really good
here.
Comment, wasn't it? Yeah, the world has become local in terms of talent. I mean, we talk about this a lot with respect to the impact of remote working and fully remote teams on in the leadership team of Cytiva. And one of the biggest challenges I think that we as an organization face is, how do you maintain the culture of an organization when you're missing that face-to-face environment that really shows people how we are with each other, how we are with leaders, how we work with each other, and so on. And getting that culture to translate into the online world requires a lot of effort and puts new demands on business leaders, on people leaders, and of course on, you know, on associates around the globe. So it's a really, really interesting time to be in the industry.
Right. Speaking of attracting talent, and there were so many newcomers who came into not just Cytiva, but hundreds, thousands of life sciences companies, and attaching themselves to the culture of a new company. But what about retaining talent in this environment? And Anne-Cécile, I'd like you to discuss, how are you helping our customers retain our talent, and how are you retaining your talent in your team?
Retention and upskilling skills are critical, I think, at any company, and Cytiva included. Beyond the composition benefit, which are critical, especially in a very competitive environment, Cytiva has done a lot of work in the career pathing, how to ensure we have a clear path within the functions or cross-functioning, how you move from a function to another, and how you can help the talent to move from a function to another. And of course, what is critical for retaining the talent is to invest in their own personal development. So continuous training is critical, both in terms of technical training, for example, in Fast Track, how you train on new modalities, how you train on digital solution, but also on soft skills training, I think are critical. It's important that how talent understand that we care about their own development. And I think that's what we're trying also to do for our customer. We have a lot of expertise, you know, my team of scientists, they have a lot of expertise to share. And through the Fast Track training program, they can share these expertise and train the customer talent so they can retain them. And when you upskill people, when you invest time and money in the development, they want to stay with you.
That's absolutely fantastic, Anne-Cécile. I mean, it really gives you kind of a sense of hope for the future of the industry. Let's do another lightning round. Yes, and this again is for the audience as well, because we're seeing some fantastic comments and insights coming in from the audience. So what are you optimistic about in terms of overcoming the talent challenge that the industry as a whole is facing?
I think it's really about the purpose and mission of what Cytiva does in particular, but, you know, as in the industry as a whole as well. I just feeling that connection to how we are addressing the world's health problems. No place I'd rather be.
So if you're out there in the automotive industry, if you're out there in food and beverage, come join us in the life sciences industry, where, you know, there's real purpose. I mean, not that cars aren't good, not that food isn't good, but, you know, saving the world. Right. Darren, what about you? What gives you hope?
I think in a kind of a strangely counterintuitive way, the last 2 years gives me hope, because I think that biopharma really demonstrated its ability to be adaptable, to be able to, I suppose, to be agile, and to address the requirements of COVID. So the speed with which we generated novel vaccines and produced them in the billions of doses we have, that makes me optimistic. I think if we can carry that forward, it would be fantastic.
Cecile, what makes you feel optimistic?
So for me, what's making me optimistic is the collaboration within the industry. Between, you know, academia and biopharma, between the biopharma, between the different training provider. Collaboration is key. No one can do it alone. It's complex, expensive, you know, time consuming. So I see all the collaboration around the world and that makes me hopeful about the future.
Collaboration. We came through it. There's a lot more to contribute. I mean, look, this has been absolutely fantastic, half an hour or so. Thank you to all of the audience and your comments and your insights. That's, I think it's important that as a player in the industry, we're transparent about the challenges that the industry faces.
That's right.
And it's not just us, it's our customers, it's our competitors as well. We're all facing into this headwind, and collaboration is the key thing. What can we do to help the industry mature and become much, much more resilient in the future?
And being willing to be agile. Nikki was talking about the future of work. The reality is we have to be adaptable to attract and retain the right talent who is not shy anymore about what they want from an employer.
Exactly. And we have to manage the value proposition of working in our industry as effectively as we can.
And finally, not to forget, sunny California is a fantastic place, an exciting employer for life sciences industry. No shade on Stockholm, where I'm based.
Or London, where I'm based.
Or Dublin, where Darren is based. Or where you are based in the audience. So once again, thank you very much for watching this live broadcast with Cytiva. We've been coming to you from San Diego at the Bio International Conference. Keep up the optimism.
If you're listening to us on the replay in the Discovery Matters podcast, stay tuned. We'll do more on talent.
Exactly. And keep listening. Take care. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Our executive producer is Andrea Killen, and this podcast is produced with the help of Bethany Grace Armit-Brewster, and it's much more than help. Bethany does lots of work on this podcast. Editing, mixing, and music is by Tom Henley and Banda Productions. You're speaking with...
Dodie Axelson.
That's right, and you are Connor McKechnie.
I am indeed. Make sure you rate us on Spotify or whichever platform you listen to us on. If you are listening on Spotify, please answer the poll under the episode description. We really like to hear from you. We'll see you when we come back with another episode of Discovery Matters.
Da, 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 da.